this is the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast, where you get to find out about the best books from the people who write them. I'm Bex, and this week you're going to hear Sophie Dahl talk about her brand new book. And we have Ben Ockrey talking all things nature and COP26. Plus, I can squeeze in a few little mentions of brilliant books that are coming out at the moment as well. So first up, let's check in with Sophie Dahl, shall we? She is Roald Dahl's granddaughter, you might know that, but she is also an author in her own right, and she's got a brand new book out called The Worst Sleepover Ever. So here's a chat I had with her all about it. I am joined right now by the author, Sophie Dahl. Hey Sophie, how are you going?
Hi Bex, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I have read your book and it is one of the sweetest books. It's really put me in a lovely mood for the day, so thank you for that.
Has it made you ready for a sleepover?
It's made me ready for a sleepover, but it's also made me want to control the sleepover to within an inch of its life. That's what it's done to me.
I think this is a sensible response to the book.
Because, of course, your new book, The Worst Sleepover in the World, it brought back a lot of memories for me when I was younger, having sleepovers and planning the biggest, like, bestest bonanza, like plenty of parties. But actually, it never goes according to plan, does it?
Never goes according to plan. I've decided that sleepovers are a bit like New Year's Eve, where you go into it with the best of intentions. You think you're going to have the most amazing time, and then it never quite goes according to plan.
It's always quite tricky, yeah.
Yeah. So that's, and that seems to be every sleepover I've been to, every sleepover we've had at our house. It seems to be a universal thing.
Well, we had a sleepover once where my mum and dad had got cooked pizzas for everybody. And then while we'd had our back turned, the dog ate the pizza. So that was immediately gone.
Well, it's normally the dog eating the pizza or somebody's sick. That's also the other one that seems to be high up there. I was telling my kids this morning that I once went on a sleepover where the mum told me just before I went to sleep that they had a poltergeist in their house. I was awake most of the night. I was so scared. And she said they had a poltergeist that threw spoons and forks. So I just went to bed in mortal terror.
Oh, why would you tell anybody that, let alone a visitor in your house?
I don't know. It's strange. It was the 80s.
It's a different time, different time.
Different time.
Well, in your book, you have a lovely Ramona and you have her pal Gracie, who comes round for what is expected to be the party of the season, let's face it. Can you tell us a little bit about what happens at this big sleepover?
So Ramona and her sister Ruby are really excited because Gracie is coming for their first ever sleepover. They've planned it all week. They're going to dance like wild things. They're going to throw putty on the ceiling. They're going to eat all these exotic snacks. And then Gracie gets there and Gracie has lots of likes and dislikes. And it just starts feeling not so fun. There are fun bits, but it starts gradually just feeling not so fun. And Mum is stuck in the middle. So it's about, I guess, navigating expectations and friendships.
It is, because it's that first friendship, it's their first sleepover, it's a really big deal. And, you know, in your head, you think sleepover, you think midnight feast, you think watching movies, playing games, chatting all night. Often what happens is you're asleep by 8 p.m. and you've only had like a nibble of a sandwich. But still, the expectation is there. But I think slowly but surely, Ramona's realising that maybe Gracie's not the most fun person she expected.
I think Gracie is really just a bit anxious because she's only been on one other sleepover and that hasn't gone so well. So I think what happens is Gracie starts to unravel a bit and she starts telling stories that are, you can tell there's a real edge to them. So all of her stories have a slightly tragic bent, and mum is really trying to keep the whole thing, the show, on the road. I think the other big piece of it is it's about how everything, however old you are, always feels better in the morning.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Mum is a hero, by the way, because she says that. She says, I think tomorrow morning will all be a bit better. And not only is she wise, she's also great at making pancakes. So she's there in the morning making them up.
She looks a little bit tired, a little bit frayed, but she's making pancakes.
I loved her. There's a line, which I'm sure if parents read it as well, they will absolutely clock this. There's a bit where she talks about how she used to work dancing on a Saturday night, and there's like a slight level of like, but, you know, things change, expectations vary, don't worry about it. So I'm sure kids and parents will love this book in very different ways.
Thank you. I hope so.
Now, tell me, were you a little bit inspired by 5 Minutes Peace as an author from years ago,
Jill Murphy. So Jill Murphy, yeah. So Jill Murphy also wrote The Worst Witch. 5 Minutes Peace is a classic. So yeah, that's about the Large family, and Mrs. Large is just trying to go off and have a bath in peace, but her kids just keep wanting her attention, and her bath just is not the piece it's meant to be. Yeah, I think that that story is a classic in our house. It's and again, I think it's both kids and parents can really relate to it.
Absolutely. Well, who did you relate to more? Were you relating to the kid characters, because you've been a kid yourself and you've got kids, or were you relating to mum thinking, poor old mum, she needs to catch a break here?
I think probably a bit of both, because I do understand that feeling that you need to do your recorder solo right then and there to your mum, even if she's having a bath, or read a bit from your book. And also, I do understand as a parent that sometimes you just want to actually go into the bathroom and shut the door and not have anyone come in.
When it comes to your ideal sleepover, what would you plan? What would you make sure happens on the perfect sleepover?
My ideal sleepover would have... I would have lots of salted chocolate. I like chocolate. I like a mix of sweet and savoury. It would have some really good movies. What would I watch? I'd watch Anne with an E back to back. Have you watched that at all?
I haven't, but a lot of people have told me I would love it.
It's so good. I would watch that. I would have salted chocolate. I might dance like a wild thing. And would I throw putty at the ceiling? Maybe. What would yours be?
Well, I was thinking about this. I think I would have lots of popcorn, lots of chocolate, like yourself. I'm a big chocolate mm-hmm. fan. I think I'd have ambitions to stay up until 4 in the morning. But I think I'd fall asleep at about 11, probably, maybe 12.
I think I would fall asleep at 9. So you're currently winning.
And I think I would have a little Disney marathon. I think I'm talking like Coco, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, like lots of back-to-back Disney films. I think that's what I'd go for. Sophie, you've made me really, really want a sleepover now.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's what this book should do. And not tell me, make do you, you have dread one.
No, absolutely not. Do you have a perfect pancake recipe as well? Are you like mum in this? Are you an excellent pancake maker?
I'm a good pancake maker. Yeah, I do. I do good crepes with Nutella or with sugar and lemon. But also I make, because I lived in America for a long time, I make good American dollar pancakes, the thick ones.
Oh, nice. So we're all going to come around to your house for pancakes, right?
Yeah, you're welcome to stay up all night and then eat my pancakes.
Amazing. Now, before I let you go, Sophie, I do a little kind of quick fire round with authors on Fun Kids. So I just wanted to do that with you now, if that's okay. Kind of this or yes. that kind of game, if that's right. Lovely stuff. So first up is super easy. Books or Kindles?
Books.
Everyone says it. Heroes or villains?
Ooh, both.
Ooh, okay. Film adaptation or TV adaptation?
TV.
Night owl or early bird?
Night owl.
Writing or reading?
Both.
Oh, both. Okay. That's, for some reason, every author finds that question very difficult to answer.
it's really tricky to answer that one.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I thought that'd be a really easy one, but nobody's enjoyed that question so far. Hogwarts or Narnia?
Ooh. Ooh. Hogwarts.
Okay, I appreciate it took you a little time there. Do you use your laptop or do you write by hand?
I used to write by hand, and then I really had a case of the dog eating my homework, because I was staying with someone and I left my notebook downstairs and the dog ate it.
No! Yeah. So you learned your lesson?
Yeah, and that was with my first novel. And so ever after that, I wrote on a computer.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah, I can understand why. Do you write 9 to 5 or do you write whenever you fancy?
I write, when do I write? I write probably 10 till 3.
Oh, very civilised hours.
Yes. Yeah.
I like that. Lovely. Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Paddington Bear.
That was very definite. Yeah. And finally, the big one, salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar.
Yes! It's the best one.
Salt and vinegar. Cheese and onion's a bit unsociable.
Yes! Thank you. Yes.
It's unsociable.
Honestly, you could have said anything for the other questions. It's just that one I care about the most, to be honest. Before I let you go, I just want to give a shout out as well to your illustrator, because your story is brilliant, but also the pictures in the book are beautiful as well. You must have been super happy with how it all came together.
He's so brilliant. He's called Luciano Lozano, and his pictures are so, so funny. I'd seen another book that he illustrated, which I loved, and it made me laugh out loud. And when I thought of this book in my head, his pictures just made it totally, totally come to life. I can't imagine the characters any other way.
Oh my goodness. They just, those pictures capture the spirit of the book so well and just compliment your writing. You must have been thrilled with it.
So thrilled. And also just like, when I first held a copy in my hands, I just laughed because I love also, there's a particular picture of Gracie when she's really, really tired and past it at the end of the night, where she's about to have what she calls a very big shout, and he really gets it.
It's honestly, it's such a wonderful book. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much to Sophie. She was properly brilliant. I want to be her best friend. Next up, we also spoke recently to a poet and author, Ben Ockrey. Now, not only has Ben released a beautiful brand new book full of amazing pictures about helping save nature, he was also telling me a bit about COP26 and about how he thinks that we can look after the planet around us. So here is what happened when I met Ben. So I am joined right now by Booker Prize winning author. Hello, Ben Ockrey. Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Very well, in spite of the way the world is.
Well, in spite of the world, you've managed to be with us virtually, which is brilliant. I've got a bone to pick with you, I'm not going to lie. I read your book this morning and it made me cry. I cried on the way to the Fun Kids studio because it's so beautiful, but also a little bit sad. It is called Every Leaf a Hallelujah. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
Well, it's an environmental fairy tale for people between the ages of 5 and 105. And it tells the story of the devastation of a forest near a village or a small town somewhere in Africa. You can pick your country, but I wrote it with a particular place in mind, but left it open. And it's about this little girl. She's seven years old, and her name is Mangoshi. And it is on her shoulders to go to the forest and find a very special flower that can save her mother. Her mother is very ill, and also save her village. She goes to find this flower and fails. A year later, she makes another attempt. And this is the story of her courage and of the amazing things she discovers about the terrible things that we human beings are doing to our trees and to forests, and therefore to ourselves.
Yeah, because when she's in the forest, she kind of hears these voices, and it suddenly occurs to her there's no people nearby, but there are lots of brilliant, very old trees who are trying to kind of guide her in the right way of realizing why cutting them down isn't the best thing to do, and how other humans have been doing that.
Yes, absolutely. She stumbles into that very special state of grace, whereby she could hear the trees talking. And it's a very important part of the book. And it is not as fanciful as we think. I think, and many people think, that nature talks to us all the time. It's just that we don't listen. Nature has been talking to us and helping us and guiding us and warning us. And we've not been listening.
It does feel, especially actually with our listeners, I know there is a big knowledge and push to help prevent climate change more than ever before, especially with obviously COP26 happening at the moment, lots of climate change chat as well. Do you think Greta Thunberg and that kind of like movement is helpful? And did you kind of think about her and the younger generation when you were writing this book?
Yes, I think people like Greta are very, very helpful. But I think there's a whole range of young voices. Some are angry, some are very constructive. Some young people feel that you've got to work with everybody. They just want to solve the problem. So yes, I was very aware and very inspired by those younger voices, of which Greta is a very prominent example. But there are many others as well. I was very inspired by my daughter. We would go for walks along the canal near where I live, and she was the one who first started using a stick to pull out plastic bags from the canal. She was the one who, you know, it seemed like such a little and pointless and unsuccessful thing to do, but just to see a 4-year-old already sort of raking out plastic from the canal, it kind of makes you feel like a whole generation has been born with a mental shift already in place. It's quite amazing.
There is a lovely bit in the book where the trees kind of take Mangoshi on this journey around the world and show her it's not just happening where she is. It's literally everywhere. You know, you go to Africa, you go to England. This is happening everywhere you go to as well. And obviously very, very lovely, but also just so sad when you see the trees be like, this is happening everywhere.
Yeah, it's a universal disaster. It's a catastrophe. It's you know, the trees are older than us as a species. You know, they were here before we turned up. You know, they were already sort of stabilizing the planet, already sort of doing their work, kind of living their lives before we evolved and joined the great story, and then proceeded to ruin it. They are our elders. I mean, it really is worth remembering that. You know, nature, the trees, they are our elders. They are in many ways wiser than us because they've been around longer. They've seen successive cycles of the follies of human beings and human civilization. They know us. You know, they know how stupid we can be. They also know how brave we can be. They also know how wise we can be if we really see. And I think that's part of the problem. It's a universal catastrophe. It's happening all across the world. We are burning up our future. Every tree that we destroy, every forest that we raise down for money, we are burning up the future of this planet and the future of our children. And we're burning it up, we're using it up for nothing. We're not using it for anything that will grow in the future. We're just destroying time and we're just wasting our destiny.
Yeah, reading the book, obviously it's something I know isn't very important, but it's almost like when you put the words in the mouths of the trees, and when there's a bit when she hugs the tree, I was like, oh my goodness, yeah, trees can feel things. And it did occur to me, like, you're right, you know, they've been here a lot longer than we have, and we kind of need them. And also, I should say, your illustrations in the book are beautiful. They really bring it to life as well. You must be so happy.
Oh, I'm really glad you mentioned that. They're done by a wonderful African-Italian lady called Diana Eggiata. She's a painter as well as an illustrator. This is her first book. And you could tell she just poured her love into this first book of collaboration. And it's partly because she was pregnant with her first child while she was doing this work. So she just felt this double burden, I think, and this double inspiration. It was really wonderful.
Yeah, they're beautiful, those illustrations. Now, before I let you go, I mean, it sounds like a boring question, but I've asked this question to a few people. I find it fascinating. Do you have a favourite tree? And by that, I mean either a type of tree or a specific tree in a place that you go to, maybe, or one that brings you peace. Is there one tree in the world that is your favourite tree of all of them?
Yeah, I do have a favorite tree, and it's just at the back in my park, the park where I live, and I go and sit against it and read, and you know, when I'm feeling a little low, I lean against it, and by the time I'm done with thinking, I feel better. I hover around it. Its shade is really lovely. I bring friends to it, my family. They all know this tree, but then I've made friends with quite a few trees. I think trees are. I think we make a mistake when we think the trees are somehow not sentient. They have a consciousness. They have a presence. Every tree has a presence. Every tree has a character. Every tree has a personality. There's some they're grumpy trees. They're humorous trees. If you just sit and read against a tree, you get different moods from different trees. It's quite extraordinary.
I love that so much. I love the idea that you've made a tree the part of your family a little bit.
Yeah. Well, when we go past and we say hello. We just hang around under her. And I think of her as a her. We just hang around under her and we play. And then we go home. Everyone feels better. I don't know. Trees have a kind of a silent magic.
So we should say Every Leaf Hallelujah is out super soon. Is it the 14th of October? Is that right?
You can choose a date. 14th is good.
All right, we'll say that. So Ben, thank you so much for talking to us and congratulations on the book. Just a little reminder before we go, there are loads of brilliant big new books in the world right now, including Mickey and the Missing Spy by Anne Miller. Now, in this book, Mickey is the only human agent in the top secret animal spy organization, Cobra. Mickey promised never to let humans know about this band of animal spies, but when her hero and codebreaker extraordinaire, Hildegard L. McTavish, disappears, Mickey has to investigate. That sounds like a really fun book if you love your kind of adventure stories. There's also Rock War Boot Camp by Robert Muchamore. Jay, Summer, Dylan and their bandmates are heading to the Rock War Manor. But the rock star life of music festivals and glitzy premieres isn't all it's cracked up to be. Tell me about it. I should know. I've been to a few of them. So if you want to check out those books, go and see them online or in your local bookshops right now. And remember, if you are reading something brilliant, let me know. Go to funkidslive.com and drop me a line. That's pretty much it for today's episode of Bookworms. Remember to be in touch at funkidslive.com, just like I said. And I'm pretty sure that if you're reading a book right now, I want to know all about it, please. So I'll see you again super soon. Remember, I am on Fun Kids every weekday from 4 till 7. You can listen to me on your DAB digital radio, online, on the free Fun Kids mobile app, and on your smart speaker. Just say Play Fun Kids every weekday from 4 p.m. See ya!